John Miller used to have a harness shop down, there was this side of where Barnett's store used to be. I guess that building's all been torn down too.
Yes, that's where the Shell Station, which is now the Gulf Station, is.
Oh, is that one of those?
They changed the name just the last 2 weeks.
Now, who is this, Mom? Here's a wedding invitation. Mrs. Temperance A. Meyer requests the honor of your presence at the marriage of her daughter, B. Letta, to Mr. George B. Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, on Wednesday afternoon, February the 20th, 1901, at 1 o'clock, Sawbridge's.
You were just a little girl. You were about 11 or 12 years old when that wedding took place.
Yeah.
And you remember the wedding?
Who was that?
Can you remember going to that wedding?
They all had nice, look at this handwriting. Isn't that pretty?
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
I don't know if I remember the wedding, but I remember going to their house. They lived right down on the Hudson River.
Here's the Bartle. Mr. and Mrs. W.M. Bartle request your presence at the marriage of their daughter, Minnie, to Mr. Peter Powers Everett. Oh, that's a little scandal. Peter Everett lived down here on Main Street, and I can remember, I was about 10 years old, and I used to go down. Aunt Jenny, Aunt Edie kept books for Uncle Abe down at the garage, and Aunt Minnie kept books at the Bartle store. Or was it, no, Barnett store. And I think Peter Everett was a jeweler. I think he repaired clocks. And his wife was eccentric. I remember Aunt Jenny, and Aunt Jenny used to go up on the hill, and it was up to where the old bank is. There used to be a Chinaman at a laundry up there, and Aunt Jenny used to go in there and buy little canisters of orange pico tea. Look at this one. And I think she had kind of a crush. Here she was a spinster maybe. And I think she had a crush on Peter Everett. And his wife was a spinster. They lived in the same house, but they didn't speak. And because she, and Jenny told me that when the coal man would come to deliver the coal, they put it in a fever window on the chute. His wife, that she was home, didn't know what was there for the coal man. And he'd have to, oh, I don't know, the same thing. Here when we were small. I could show you.
The Bartles used to live over on the road to almost near the that school
This is the old music cabinet. Aunt Jenny used to have, they used to, Aunt Edie had a piano, and they had an old phonograph. And I remember they had one record that I loved. It was The Poet and the Pheasant. And I used to, when I was a child, I used to come in here and put that record on and play it over and over and over until Aunt Edie just about that recollection. But I found some letters. I don't know if they're in here.
That's my mother's old family.
Mother's old family Bible. That's another treasure.
This says, Mrs. Evelyn Snyder. I don't know what I
did most before she was married.
Have you kept the family tree in the Bible, as many people did?
She tried to. I think she's lost track of. Maybe this is the wrong Bible. This is the wrong one.
That Bible's back in.
The family tree was right in the middle, I thought.
Oh, now, wait a
minute. Maybe they put it in that wrong.
Oftentimes it was right between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes the family tree was right
this
between
the
Old Testament and the New Testament.
Version. This is the one. Well, that's the weekend.
So my brother, Abe, and his daughter, two of his daughters died with cancer. My brother and his two daughters.
Now this Abe Martin, the first selectman of Salisbury for 25 years, was your brother, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a celebration in 1945 in his honor. Harry Bellini gave a testimonial to Grace Harding, and Tom Wagner gave a testimonial to Howard Landon, and Sid Coles gave a testimonial to George Selleck, and Howard Landon gave one to your brother, Abe Martin, and Bill Barnett was the toastmaster.
Sid Coles used to be my brother Sheldon's chum, and every Sunday night before prayer meeting started over church, after three, at the back of the church, Mother used to have all the other people in the house for hot chocolate and cheddar shed apple pie or something like that. And then during the week, then she'd have the ladies' society over there in the East Fields.
Oh, yes. Here's the Lakeville Journal story of your brother's death. That wasn't very long after he was honored as having been a first selectman for 25 years.
Well, he had to give up because he had a cancer.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I know how he got cancer too. He had a hernia, and someone's car got stuck down in front of the garage, and he helped push it. And he incurred a strangulated hernia.
Oh.
And they repaired it, but that might have been the beginning, you know.
Have you read about the party that's going to be held for Lila Nash?
I have an invitation. I got it.
Good. I hope you're going to write her a letter.
Well, I'll write her a separate card.
That would be nice. We have some albums to filled with letters and cards and things like that for her. We'll try to have that ready when the party happens on the 6th of December. We're going to have an extraordinary town meeting on the 6th of December.
I saw that. Here's a picture of Ed Mansford. He was Ed Mansford, was he a judge too, or was that just Golden? Ed Mansford. Grandpa Martin. Ben White and Fred Bartholomew, Mr. Wagner. That's just one total picture. Any of the others. How it looked in Canaan. I can remember this as a child.
Oh, yes.
They had snow like that.
That's right.
Right. You don't see winter like that anymore.
That was over Canaan.
That's right.
My husband worked for telephone company, and I remember they let the gang come and stay there all day shoveling snow.
it's great fun to have all these treasures of pictures.
That my youngest son, that works for a telephone company, he's been with him 33 years.
Has he really?
He's one of the supervisors now. He lives in Watertown, works in Waterbury.
Mom, who's this? This looks just like Polly.
That's Lucy. Aunt Lucy.
No wonder Polly looks, she looks just like her mother.
Mm-hmm. You know Mrs. Fred?
No, I don't think so.
And Michael Fred is her mother.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And this was Aunt Jenny. And was this woman on the Sheldon? Who was that?
That's Uncle Abe.
That's Uncle Abe?
When he was a young man.
Oh, boy, he was good looking when he was young, wasn't he? And was this you?
No, it's Blanche.
And this is Aunt Jenny.
Yeah.
This was Aunt Jenny. She was in love. Tell them about that, Mom.
Love.
Aunt Jenny was in love with this fellow, and he went to Hartford to work, and she went to Hartford to work. And she thought he was in love with her, and then she found out he was going with her cousin. Who was he going with?
I don't know.
And so she came back to, will you tell us? She came back from Hartford, right? When she found out that he was going with some other girl, she, and you told me that she almost, you thought she was going to have TB. She was depressed and lost mm-hmm. a lot of weight, and she never went out with another man. Mm-hmm. And from that time on, she was real sour mm-hmm. and dour about men. My father was very handsome, and he used to grab her around the waist and whirl her around. He'd say, "Hi, Jenny, old girl." And she'd say, "Now, George, you stop that. That won't do it." And
there's Phoebe's
husband. I think she enjoyed it.
That was Phoebe's husband, and that was her son, mm-hmm. his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Lester Storms, do you know any of the Storms family?
I know Phoebe.
Evelyn Snyder Martin.
Lester's...
She died December, she died February 1913.
His wife's ex-husband lives up in Salisbury, fair, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's very sick, too.
This picture for her, this was her mother. This was taken in 1886. Mm-hmm. She died in February 1913, and I was born in December 1914, so I never knew her.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandpa Martin, A. Martin, February 1984.
Mm.
Papa and Sheldon in our young peach orchard, one Sunday morning in August 1906, something in the tree was filled with delicious red.
Mm.
Look at that. That must be when they lived up on the farm. That's a real movie.
They first storms again, just getting out of his car.
Here's Pete Sheldon. Oh, he's handsome. It's a shame he had to die. Everyone died with pneumonia in those days. If you had pneumonia, that was it. And Aunt Jenny blamed herself because she was taking care of him. And
there's my father with two of his grandchildren. That's on my old home.
My well, old home. Dad and Catherine. That's you?
I'm Catherine.
Catherine, that's mm-hmm. you. You're growing up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Here's Aunt Edie. They have beautiful
clothes, didn't they?
Oh. But everything was handmade. This is Aunt Rachel, who was her mother's sister. She was real husky.
My
Uncle Sheldon must have died when I was 2 years old. There's a picture of his. And here's Uncle Sheldon. You can see he's nice looking. Sheldon Pete Martin. It's October died in October 19th. Isn't that a shame? But there were a lot of unhappy girls around. And look at the flowers.
The shells.
That's Aunt Jenny. Aunt Jenny was really nice looking when she was younger, wasn't she? Where was that taken, Mom, with all that locust post or cedar post? Someone took your house out. This is how it looked. I remember this. They had hydrangea trees. And this was the main street in Lakeville. And this was in front of the house, and this was the sidewalk going up to the porch. And they had a front.
I hope we don't get that much snow this year.
Mom, tell them about when you used to date. They had two living rooms. They had a front living room, or parlor, and he had a sitting room. And the family would sit in the sitting room. They had a bay window. I can remember when Aunt Lucy lived there, she'd sit in that bay window and sew. And when they dated, their boyfriend would come to the front door, and whoever, don't forget, there were about five girls and two boys, and the girls would receive their beau at the front door, and they would entertain them in the parlor. And Mom and Grandpa Martin would go to bed, and they had latches on the door. And I remember later they changed Uncle Sheldon's room. They turned his room into a bathroom, right? So here she's dating her boyfriend, and it's time for him to leave. So Mama, Grandma Martin, would come to the upstairs. They had a front stair and a back stair. And she would, she'd take the latch and put up a latch, and that meant murder. And if
time for him to go home.
If he didn't go home, this is, she'd give a couple signals, right? And then if he didn't leave, then she'd open the door and say, "Myrtle, haven't that young man gone home yet?" Oh, embarrassed. And my mother did the same thing, only she didn't wiggle the latch.
She saw to it that he went home.
Does Hazel. And would you like a cup of coffee?
Or no, coffee? Thank you very much. I've got to get home. It's 5 o'clock already. This has been great fun.
And here's Sheldon. And here's Sheldon. I guess he was a car buff. Sheldon, who's that friend with him? You're being Edie again.
They worked for a family that was over for the race. That was from my town.
Sheldon, that's your
her brother. Right, yeah. And this
he,
is
he died when he was a young man.
23 years old.
Oh, yes.
Oh, look at this. Here's a good one. Here's the whole graduating class. And I remember when this school was down there. This is my mother. This is Sadie Cleveland, Mary Kalina, Catherine or Kit O'Brien. Didn't Kit O'Brien date Uncle Sheldon? Did Kit O'Brien date Uncle Sheldon? I thought I heard someone say that. Ethel Judd. Is she the one that went with Aunt Jenny's boyfriend? Ethel Judd? You don't remember? Well, you know Aunt?
Ethel Judd went with Sarah Bears.
Yeah, well, she married him. Mary Judd, Dufour. And they live over on Lakeview Avenue. Myrtle Martin Kimball. James Kalina. William Traver. Professor Frank Wallace. Mm-hmm. And Earl Turner and Joseph.
Is that my high school thing?
Yeah.
I'm the only one alive except Sadie Peterson, maybe. You know where that was taken? You know where the post office is now?
Yes.
That used to be our high school.
Oh, really?
Still there. That drugstore is still there.
Mm-hmm.
That building. But the old academy was torn down. The high school was on the second floor, the kindergarten on the first floor, and our professor's wife used to teach the kindergarten, and I used to play the piano, so then she'd come upstairs and call me down to play for the kids.
Very nice.
Here's Dad's a gang when he was in, and this is your father's team of horses. What did he do?
Well, that's what that.
What did he do? Rent horses for the telephone company?
Huh? He sold them. The horses to the company.
Well, it says these horses belong to your father.
They belong to him.
Oh, I see. In other words, he trained them, right? They used to go.
That's the way the telephone company used to go out.
Sure enough.
That's my father, right? They didn't have gangs or set up in any one town. They had to travel around, and they boarded at boarding houses, and they went wherever the work was. And then he worked in Canyon, and then he
That's
had
very nice. That
transfer.
High school graduation.
Wallace, I can see him sitting up from the class now. Look at that.
But we had some letters here.
Sure, I was thinking of.
I found some letters one day that people had written to her father when her mother died. Her father was in Hartford with the legislature when her mother died. And she must have lived here, and her mother had asked, had requested, it was under, it must have been cold, and she requested she come and stay overnight, and my sister was a baby. And her mother didn't feel well, and she'd gotten up with the baby, and her mother had said, Myrtle, come on to bed, it's cold. Mm-hmm. And then her mother had a stroke that night. Mm-hmm. And her father was in Hartford, and he sort of had a premonition. He felt that something was wrong, and he came home on the train. Now, did Grandpa Martin get home before she died or after she died?
He got home before she died, but she didn't know him, didn't recognize him at all.
And what was her first symptom? Just a slurred speech, right?
Hmm?
What was her first symptom? I know she told you she was cold.
She went up to the store, the Robert store, to buy some embroidery, and then she went across to Dufour's, where the jewelry store is now. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Dufour used to have a restaurant in there. Mm-hmm. And she used to do her own baking. And so Mother went over there to give an ice cream soda before she came home. And Mrs. Dufour had just made some hot donuts. So she brought one in and Mother ate it. Before she came home, Dad used to keep cows when he had extra milk. And they would want to buy it, you know, so he'd sell it to them for 5 cents a quart.
Oh, yeah, I think of that. That's wonderful.
So, Clarence Nussbaum lived below us, and he worked in the Robert's store. So, it was just supper time, and Phoebe was, I guess, 3 weeks old, and I had gone down to stay with him for a week. And Mother had to come back to start supper before she went. We had a three-room cellar. One cellar was all plastered, you know, wooden floor, and everything. Mother used to turn the butter down there, and had a cupboard down there to get all her cakes and preserves and everything. So, before she went out, she said to me, now, if I'm late getting home, don't you go down the cellar for anything. She said, I'll get it when I come in. So it kept getting later, and she finally came home, and I had started supper because my brothers were there, and I thought they needed their supper, you know. So Dad was in Hartford. He was a representative. He was in Hartford. And so Mother came, we were just starting to leave when Mother came home. And she sat down at the table. I remember she had some stolen foods. And Mr. Nussbaum came in and wanted to know if his wife had been after the milk. And she says, I'll get up to see. Well, she took the back of the spoon. She took the spoon and had it turned backwards and was trying to pull prunes out, you know, and she sounded so funny. So I said to my brother, my oldest brother, I said, I think there's something wrong with Mother. And I said, you better get her in on the couch. And so he got up and helped her along the couch, and I heard her moan. So old Dr. Bissell lived right next door to us. I tried to get a hold of his son, young Dr. Bissell. He lived down the street, but he wasn't home. So I said, well, we'll call old doctor. Of course, he was just like another father to us. So I called him over, and we got Mother undressed and got her to bed, and I said, you better, there's something wrong with her. I said, she doesn't sound right. He said, oh, I think it's something she ate. She's got indigestion. And we called in the visiting nurses, and they got her, tried to take her temperature and everything. And old Dr. Bissell gave her some medicine, and finally, he felt so bad, we had to lay him down on the couch. And so my father was representative, and he said he had another meeting the next day, but he said something seemed to tell him to come home on the last train. So I said to my brother, drive up to the station so Dad won't have to walk down and see if he's on the train. So he was. And of course she didn't know him when he came home. And old Dr. Bissell couldn't do anything for her. And just a few minutes after that, she was gone.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Barnett, I remember, lived next door, and she made some homemade molasses candy.
Mm-hmm.
And she came over the door to give some to Mother. I said, I'm afraid Mother won't be able to eat it. She says, why? I said, well, I guess she's going, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
She went back quick.
But I remember reading a condolence card that your father got when she died, and it was wonderful, from a friend of hers out west, which said, you know, what a wonderful person she was and how she was going to
pass
away. Oh, I bet I left the door.
Do you live up near Weisman?
I live right behind the library in Salisbury. The house that we live in,
does it belong to Satrich?
Yes, that's right.
Mrs. Satrich lived right next door to us.
That's right.
Old car Satrich.
Right. And Mr. Satrich bought the old railroad station, the passenger station in Salisbury, and tore it down and rebuilt it as a very modern, lovely little house. And my father and mother bought the house later, after several other people had owned it. They bought it in 1957, and when they died in 1964, they willed it to me, and I have owned the house since 64, but I haven't lived in it until 71, so I've been up here about 10 years. But I remember coming up to Salisbury from Ossining, where I used to be, to visit Mother and Father. Salisbury has been home to me because Mother and Father lived here ever since 1939, when they first moved here to retire. They retired to the house across from the Ragamot Inn up on the hill across the way. Remember that house? When you asked how much I thought your dad had paid for this house, I remember that Father and Mother paid only $10,000 for that big house up on the hill in 1939. Were you up there? There's Phoebe.
Huh?
Hello, Phoebe.
Oh, my dog's wire broke again. That makes
really?
Me sick.
Oh.
It took me 2 years to get one up.
Oh.
They put a run up. It's a heavy multi-strand wire.
Yeah.
So this was
the... Did the dog get away?
Yes,
he ran up the road, rang his chain,
because the wire was getting pulled down more and more.
So I
when I'm here alone, it's salvation for him to have the road.
Sure.
But I waited 2 solid years to get it up, didn't I, Caddy?
Mm-hmm.
More than that, when I was at Taconic, I waited a year up there for them to do one, and my sights put it up, and it wasn't right.
Somebody to put it up again?
I don't know, I'll have to look.